precious. They're precious in your sight, Father God. They're precious to me as well. And Father, I just give you the glory for them. I thank you, Father God, for their hunger for your word and hunger for more of the things of God. And I thank you, Father, for using them for your glory, using them for your glory. Father, I thank you for those that are watching the live stream, Father, and I pray that they will have ears to hear and a heart to receive your word tonight, that their lives will be changed because of the living word of God. And Father, we give you all the glory and all the praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name, shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And I just want to say this. You know, God's not done with us yet. Amen. God is not done with us yet. Praise God. Why don't you look at somebody and just tell them, God is not done with you yet. Now, here's what I want you to do. I hope you don't think this is silly, but we're not wasting time here. Look at that same person again and ask him, did you hear what I just said? God is not done with you yet. Amen. Well, Pastor, why do you have us asking that question? I don't know. But it felt good in my spirit. Glory to God. Amen. Those believers out there watching the live stream, God's not done with you either. Praise God. Praise God. All right, let's move on. Let's go back to the book of Revelation, the third chapter. We've been here, Revelation chapter 1, 2, and 3, and especially 2 and 3 for a long time, for a good while now. And I still want to touch on a few things. And we stopped at the church of Laodicea, which is the lukewarm church. Have you ever heard anybody say, I'm sure if you've been around any length of time, you've heard people say, you know, God don't like ugly. Y'all ever heard that phrase? You know, God don't like ugly. In other words, he don't like people acting ugly, talking ugly, and so forth. But we find out from the word of God that not only does he not like ugly, he don't like lukewarm. He don't like lukewarm, praise God. You know, when someone from the outside look at me, listen to me, watch me, they should know which side of the fence I'm on. They should recognize whether I'm on God's side or whether I'm in the world. Do you hear me? Amen. And that's one of the reasons, not the only, but not one of the reasons that Jesus doesn't like lukewarm, because you're not identifying who you really are. Are you on God's side, or are you on the side of the world? And that's the reason Jesus said, I hadn't read it again, we'll read it, but that's one of the reasons Jesus said, listen, I wish you was either hot or cold. At least everybody know where you stand. Yeah. At least everybody know where you stand. Praise God. All right, having said that, let's go ahead to Revelation chapter 3 again, and I'll begin reading again at verse 14. And I'll just read down. Again, this is the church at Laodicea. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now, I tell you what, he weren't mincing words there. I mean, he was telling it the way it is, which Jesus always did. Praise the name of the Lord. It's a problem when we begin to put our confidence in someone else or something else other than God. One of the Ten Commandments, he says, thou shalt not have any other God before me. You see that? I mean, you remember that? Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Now, verse 17, he says, because you say, I've read 17, verse 18. He says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. And he went on to say, for as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcome, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to drop down to verse 20, and then I'm going to move back up. But Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. Now, for a lot of years, you know, I thought this verse was referring to the unbeliever, the sinners. And of course, it can be applied that way. It can be applied to the unbelievers. You know, the Holy Spirit is calling them as we preach the word of God to them and share God's word with them. The Holy Spirit would deal with them also. But you know something? God also deals with the church. You have to understand, this letter was written to the Laodicean church. Do you hear me? Amen. It was written to the church. And so Jesus said, I've been trying to get through to you folks. I've just been trying to get through, and I've been standing at the door and knocking and knocking and knocking, but you won't let me in. You won't let me in. What I want to do is come in with you so that we can fellowship together. Remember what John said? He says, our fellowship is with the Father. Remember that? The Apostle John, he said, our fellowship is with the Father. And he says, I want you to fellowship with the Father just like we are fellowshipping with the Father. In other words, we're fellowshipping with God. Every believer must have that fellowship with God. ask you a question. Don't respond. You don't have to respond. When you get off by yourself sometime, driving, on your job, whatever you may be doing, do you have a conversation with the Lord? Do you have a time when you just you and him, and you just tell him how much you love him, how much you appreciate him, how much you thank him? It won't be too long before we'll be having communion again, Holy Communion here in sanctuary. I want to tell you something. I recommend this, really. That you purchase some juice, elements, or whatever, or however you do it, and have communion before God. Just you and him. Let me flip that. Him and you. He was here first. Do I have your attention? Just the two of you. Fellowship with him. You have communion right by yourself. You, him. And you acknowledge to him what he is to you. Acknowledge what he's done for you. He shed his blood for you, didn't he? For us. Now we do it collectively as a church, and we should do it, and we will be doing it. In the not too distant future, we'll be doing it again. But here's my point. When Jesus said, I'm knocking on the door, I'm waiting if you open the door and let me come in. Notice what he said, how he phrased this. He said, and we still have it on the screen, so let me read it to you again. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, think about that for a moment. If anyone hears my voice, hear me knocking, hear me asking to fellowship with you. Can I tell you something else? Please, I'm begging, please don't get too busy for God. Don't get too busy for him. Because he wants to be a vital part of our lives. I'm talking to believers now. He wants to dine with us. In other words, fellowship with us. And he's asking to come in. Now you may say, and this is absolutely wonderful, beautiful, Pastor, I'm having that experience with the Lord every day of my life. We fellowship together. I talk to him. I pray in other tongues. I pray in English. We fellowship together, the Lord and I, and we just have a wonderful time. And that is a blessing. That's what he wants. You hear me? That's what he wants. us to have fellowship together with him. What does the devil want? He wants you to talk about all your problems. He wants you to talk about everything that you don't think's right. Everything you think should be changed, or this, that, or what folks are doing to you or not doing for you or whatever. He wants you to focus on all that stuff. But Jesus is saying, I want you to focus on me. I want you to focus on me. Can I take this a step further while I'm there? Is that all right? Jesus says, I'm standing at the door and knocking. And if we hear his voice, open the door. He'll come in and he'll dine with us. New King James Version say dine. I think the King James says sup. Same thing. But when you open the front door to let him in, let him come on in, and then open all the other doors in your house, your closet, your bedroom door, your living room door. You understand what I'm saying, figuratively? You open every door in your heart and say, come on, Jesus, I want you to give me a house inspection. Are you still here? Lord, do I have something hid back in one of my rooms that I don't want you to see? So I keep that door closed. You know, Jesus don't burst down any doors. But come on. I'm just dealing with where we live. Sometimes in our house, and I'm not talking about our physical house, but sometime in our house, we have areas, and I wouldn't say it this way, areas in our life that we do not want to surrender to the Lord. You want me to tell you a real touchy area? The money closet. Now, Pastor, why'd you have to say that? Sometimes there are other areas that we just don't want to let him in. But let me tell you something. If we will let him in every door in our lives, he will come in and he will make it better. He will make it better. Hallelujah. Allow him to talk to you about anything that he want to talk to you about. Don't take the attitude, Jesus, I'm so glad you're here, but we're not having this conversation. We're going to leave this thing alone. You know, I'll handle this one by myself. Okay, Lord, I'll take care of this one by myself. When Jesus say something like, I want you to buy your wife a nice gift and let her know you love her. Just do something nice for her. Yeah, Lord, I know what you're saying, but that woman spent enough money already, and we just had this argument the other night, and I'm just upset at her right now. I'm just upset at her right now. So, Lord, I tell you what, I don't want to buy anything because she might get the wrong idea. Am I preaching yet? Oh, glory. See, that's the way Jesus is. I mean, he's totally different than the world. The world says, all right, you're not acting the way I want you to act, you know, or whatever, you know, I'm not getting you nothing. I'm not doing anything for you. Jesus says just the opposite. Bless them. Don't somewhere in the word it says bless those that and pray for those that despitefully use you? Hallelujah. That old preacher, Redfern, he all right. He preached pretty good, but sometimes he meddled too much. Hey, listen. If I'm meddling, taking the hint. Don't come to me. Taking the hint. I don't know a thing about what's happening in y'all's house. But I got me a little prayer closet over here, called my office, and a whole lot of praying go on in there. And I say things like, now, Lord, when I come out here, first of all, none of me and all of you. I don't need to be seen. I just want to give them what you have for them. And when you're through, we done. And of course, we know he has to have a vessel to work through. Isn't that right? Praise the name of the Lord. So I pray back there. I think what every pastor need to be doing is office praying. Praise God. Glory to God. Now, if you want to know the truth, I had absolutely no plans to jump down to where was it, verse 20? But the Lord saw that there was a need that he wanted to address. And it was, and it's not limited to husband-wife relationship either. There's a need that he wanted to address, and it is our fellowship with him. He wants more fellowship with us. You hear me? He wants more. Somebody say amen. He wants more fellowship with us. Why does he want to fellowship with us so much? Why he's knocking so that we can fellowship together, you know, and it's because he is so, you ready for this? It's because he is so in love with each and every one of us. Because we are his, listen to me, we are his creation. We began in his mind. It was his decision to set this part, to set this time apart, let me say it that way, for you and I to be born here. The very fact that we're in sanctuary, we're looking at each other, you looking at me and I'm looking back at you, God had this plan way back yonder. Amen. That we come together. And now let me say something else. Let me say something else. You want to hear something else? Here's what happened. When our fellowship, you ready for this? When our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ grow stronger and stronger and stronger, guess what? Our fellowship with one another grows stronger and stronger and stronger. A lot of times you see a person that's always ornery and hard to get along with and just not happy. Usually, that's a person that's not in fellowship with God. Or at least not the way they should be. I say it that way. Because the more he baptizes us in his love, it can't help but spill over on somebody else. Are you listening good this evening? Glory be to God. Wow. Well, this didn't go the way I thought it was. Thank you, Lord. But it's good anyway, isn't it? Put verse 20. Well, I tell you what. Verse 19, put verse 19 on the screen for me. Revelation 3:19. And this is Jesus talking. Matter of fact, look up at the screen, whichever one you can see. And I want, on three, I want us all to read this nice and loud together. One, two, three. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. As many as I love, I rebuke. He was telling this lady O.C. in church, you're lukewarm, you're not in fellowship with me, but I love you. You're my church. I love you. I love you with all my heart. And because I love you with all my heart, that's the reason I rebuke you. About you. Behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. And if you hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and we'll dine together and we'll have some good fellowship. Now, it may be after I have, let me say it this way, most likely it will be after I have rebuked you and chastened you. Straightened you out. But the result is good fellowship. I said the result is good. Everybody say good fellowship.
Good fellowship.
See, that's what God wants with us. But sometime he got to straighten us out. Because he loves us. He loves me. Tell yourself that. Tell yourself out loud. He loves me.
He loves me.
Jesus loves me. But you don't just love someone and leave them in the state that they're in. If you love them, you want to do something to help them, not to punish them, not to hurt them. But sometimes You have to use tough love. And Jesus knows how to use tough love. One example is in the temple. Every time he hit one of them, it was a strike of love. Because they were messing up big time. And Jesus said, no, this ain't going to happen in my Father's house. This is not going to happen in the temple. But guess what? And hopefully them boys repented. If they did, guess what? They were welcome back in the right way. Love drove them out. So sometimes Jesus have to practice tough love. But you have to understand, he loves us. And he always wants what's best for us. So let's not resist him. Amen?
Amen.
Those of you that's watching the live stream, don't resist him. He's knocking on your door. He wants to come in and dine with you and fellowship with you. Open the door and let him come in. I'm getting ready to close, but I want you to say this out loud so you can hear yourself. Say this: God always wants what's best for me. Say it again. Praise God. That's a God that loves us. That's a God that loves us. And he wants what's best for us. Amen. It may not always be comfortable, but it's always what's best for us. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean God's throwing sickness and disease on you. You hear me? No. We've been redeemed from that. But sometimes we get in trouble because of disobedience and things happen. And then sometimes the devil just try to throw stuff on us. But we are to take that stand. Take a stand in what God's word says and stand against it. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word that will never end.